Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So let's rock and roll!
Stepped off the train, I told myself there's no way back. It's in my veins, got a one-way mind on a one-way track. I'll never die, and I'm never gonna stop. Gotta keep on living life, this is all I got. So let's rock and roll. I'm gonna say that let's roll. I got the soul, my soul. I gave it up that ain't my head to rock and roll.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, Luce Cannon, along with the guilty pleasure loving Baco. How are you, sir?
Guilty pleasure?
We're doing happy songs part two, but at the same time we are playing some things outside of the normal hard rock genre slightly.
I've seen your list of songs there, Bare Naked Ladies guy. You're the guilty pleasure.
I'm sure you have a little bit.
Oh, but, I have tons. Of course, you and I are on the same page that if you like it, you like it. Who gives a fuck? It's fun to debate, yell, and argue and call someone an idiot, but if you like what you like, I don't care.
Right. I mean, this is not things possibly you'd blast out your car window. Maybe you would, but the main thing is that you can't always listen to
it. Oh, I would. I would definitely. Yes.
You're just cranking it? Okay.
I do not care. I have no fucks left to give, Luce. No fucks.
What's the song that they always do drive-bys on by Rick Astley or something like that? Or what's it called? Foo Fighters. It's called, they have a term for it.
I'm never going to let you down.
Yeah, when they go, it's called, it's
Rick
it's
Roll.
The name. Rick Roll, there you go, Rick Rolling. These aren't specifically Rick Rolling songs. Some of you might think of, but maybe we could do some Rick Rolling with some.
I always like that. We should play it too. Yeah, one of my Backstreet Boys. There's just so many jams by them.
What? Bye bye, baby. Bye bye.
That's NSYNC, you fucking idiot.
Oh, I'm so sorry for not knowing my band. Excuse me, sir. I saw it. All right, Baco. So enough about 98 Degrees and your man crush bands. Can we move on from here?
Yeah, we really should save the whole boy band thing for a Cobras and Fire series. Maybe in the year 2026, we'll do like a 6-part episode on it.
I think so. If Alice Cooper deserves six, they deserve six at least. Yes.
Yeah, six.
Absolutely. And then after that, we can write a thesis on how to alienate your audience in just a few simple steps.
Yeah, we really haven't been doing ourselves too many favors with the Nickelback and boy bands and Bare Naked Ladies talk. I think it is time we get back to our core. No more N-word, no more boy bands, and no more Canadian pop artists.
Yes. So, let's go back to the origin story, which is to feature new music from newer or older bands. So I'm going to feature one that I have never had the privilege of ever hearing any of their music and actually never even heard of this band. And I'm going to give you a hint of their name. Are you ready for my game, my clues?
Yes, yes. Bring it on.
Okay. Ding. What are two things that Ted Nugent likes to hunt?
Well, it's Luce Cannon asking the question. So one of them, obviously animals.
Well, think about the 70s. What's something
Poon
that
Tang.
One of us? Okay, good. So he likes to hunt Poon Tang, back
dang,
at least in the 70s. Maybe not as much anymore. Now he's mostly for killing. So now think of
Tigers of Pantang.
Yes, there's a band out there, kids. If you weren't aware,
what do
well
I win?
Done. Spell that, since you actually know that band, because I was not aware of them until recently.
Spell I'm
that
pretty sure band. I can spell it. T Y G E R S P A N T A N G. Tigers of Pantang.
Okay. So I guess this band's been around for 30 plus years. They're part of the new wave of British metal, whatever that acronym is, right?
Yeah, and I've moved on to the next round of the Nawabum spelling bee.
Something like that. Yeah, I think that was part of it. Yeah, that was
the Chinese guy was got knocked out with the Def Leppard.
It is written kind of ridiculous like that. Yeah. So, yeah, with this, first off, we mentioned the fact that we are forming a not-profit, which is for the benefit of the music industry as a whole, and we're going to be vetting bands on album covers and band names and just things to, when they go pro, that they're ready to take their career to the next level.
Now, it's our way of giving back.
If we're not-for-profit. Huh?
It's our way of giving back.
Yeah, correctly. It's always giving back. Pay it forward, give it back, whatever. It's coming at, from all angles here from the Cobras and Fire headquarters. But Tigers of Pantang, would that have passed our vetting process?
Well, 30 years ago, I would have given it a thumbs up. I'm not sure now. But
okay. So what is it? I mean, look at that name. I mean, doesn't that sound like something that you would order 4-star spicy at a, you know?
Yeah, I actually assumed they were a Japanese band or something like that. But you said you were the one who just told me that they were from the new wave of British heavy metal movement. But yeah, I mean, my wife's getting the Kung Pao, and I'll take the Tigers of Pantang.
What chicken or beef?
Chicken, but no extra duck sauce. And could I get white rice instead of fried?
That's funny. The name of the song is actually Extra Duck Sauce. Actually, let's just move on from the silliness, kids. This is Only the Brave off of the self-titled album Tigers of Pantang. Old school flavor. Check it out.
think I'm going to run out and get some Chinese real quick. Can we wrap this up? What else you got, Luce?
Yeah, I mean, Tigers of Pantang is great, but I don't know about you, but after I listen to it, 2 hours later, I'm hungry again.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, that's why you get extra egg rolls.
That's true. But anyway.
Side of cream cheese wontons.
Moving on. See ya, Baco. I think it's about time to talk about Red Sun Rising and your experience at the concert you saw with Poop Evil last week. And before you even get into it, for those out there that this is one of your first episodes, Red Sun Rising is definitely in our top 10 of new blood bands. Would you say?
Definitely.
Yeah. So
read my
proceed,
review at Decibel Geek. Yeah, we recorded this about a week ago. I just kind of felt there was kind of some suspicious, shady activity going on, and we hypothesized. Since then, there's actually been some news, so we are re-recording this to kind of shrink it down and condense it a little more and just get into it. So with that said, go ahead.
Right. I mean, basically, from the start when you got there, if you, maybe you can just kind of recap.
Sure.
You know, when you got there, kind of the procedure that was vastly different from normal media.
Well, I've been doing this for a couple of years now, and the things aren't always smooth. Sometimes the press passes are a little late to get to the front desk, that kind of stuff. So a little issue here and there isn't that uncommon. It usually gets sorted out pretty quick. I only say that because it was clear before I even got in the building that something was kind of odd. And it was a series of three or four things that, you know, got me to start thinking that there might be some tension between the Red Sun Rising camp and the Pop Evil camp. And again, this is all just dealing with the guy who's IDing you and strapping a thing on your wrist being very forceful that I will not be able to use my camera, even though I haven't even checked in yet.
Use your camera for...
For shooting anything. I have to check it, and I have to pay $3. He kept telling me that. It was very odd. Now, at the time...
Hold on. So he's kind of like the guy in... do you remember Better Off Dead, the guy on the bike?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Except that was... I think that was $2.
I had a point.
Johnny.
4 weeks. 20 papers. That's $2. Plus tip.
Gee, Johnny, I don't have a dime. Sorry.
Didn't ask for a dime. $2.
Well, it's funny. See, my mom had to leave early to take my brother to school and my dad to work because...
$2. Cash.
At the time, I just thought this was some kind of some overzealous security meathead, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But as things progressed, I started to think this is more all connected. There was some message being sent down.
Okay.
So then I contact I have a contact for Red Sun Rising, and I get a hold of him. He's not actually on site. He tells me I got to talk to their merch guy who tells me I need to talk to Pop Evil's merch person who has a radio to get Pop Evil's manager down to help me out. And he does help me out, but he goes out of his way to make sure that I only shoot Red Sun Rising. I cannot shoot Pop Evil. I can't shoot the opening band. I don't know why he cared about them, but... And then the other odd thing is there was about four photographers there, and none of them were shooting Red Sun Rising, almost like they weren't allowed to shoot Red Sun Rising by Pop Evil. If Pop Evil... Go ahead.
Okay, so basically, in general, you can tell that there's, like, going to a party, there's some tension between mom and dad, or whoever the hosts are.
Something like that, yeah.
A bit of a pissing contest, and also... My first theory is the fact that if you got on Pop Evil's list, they didn't want you to shoot Red Sun Rising.
Exactly. That was my theory, too. That was when I started thinking something. I started putting everything together. When I was in the photo pit alone, and then Red Sun Rising's playing, and nobody's coming in. And I'm like, I shot the entire time, and I was the only person. Again, this is all speculation. I have no confirmation from the band. I did not dig into it with my contact with Red Sun Rising. I got what I was there for, so I really didn't care that much. But for the interest of sharing the story, which I do think is somewhat interesting, especially now that we know shortly after that, Red Sun Rising announced they were no longer on the Pop Evil tour. I think they dropped out of a half dozen to 10 dates or something like that.
And that was the following, the next show is their final show, correct?
Yeah, I think they did one more, and then they announced that they would no longer be on the Pop Evil tour.
All right. Do you want us to start our our theories of why this happened that absolutely are not based on any fact whatsoever, but our vibe.
Before that, I would like to just chime in one more.
Please.
Nothing directly from anybody that I deal with Red Sun Rising, not the band, not their their management at Razor and Tie or Washington Square, but it's somebody connected to the band. I really just don't want to drag other people into this because we are speculating, and I wasn't given specifics. But I was kind of given some confirmation after that there was some tension. And I think the phrase that was used by this person was, this hasn't been the easiest tour. And that was when we that was right before you and I first talked. So we started to speculate at that point.
All right. So I'll put my theories out there.
You have some background with Pop Evil, though, right?
I do, and that's kind of where this goes from.
Excellent.
So in another lifetime, when Pop Evil's first album came out called Lipstick on the Mirror, I thought it was okay. I thought it was it has pretty decent songs, mm-hmm. this, that, and the other. They're more just a basic rock band from Michigan. And then they kind of changed very quickly over the next few albums. I have no idea even what they are right now. So anyway, their lead singer, who I, without looking at anything, I believe his first name is Lee, and his last name is like Kakadi or something like that.
I only know it's Lee, and I only know it from that person that told me that there's been some tension on the tour.
Yeah, well, he, decent singer and everything like that. He has almost a stage presence of kind of like Scott Stapp, kind of like a Jesus Christ pose kind of deal.
Lovely.
He likes walking on people's hands on in the crowd doing that little stunt.
I did hear about that this club was thankfully had too low of a ceiling for him to pull that maneuver off.
It's too bad. He has very excellent balance. So if this doesn't work out for him, he can be, a tightrope walker or something like that. So he does have that going for him. But the main thing I'm just going to mention is I did an interview. There was this silly site I used to occasionally write for that did. It was like the stepchild to Metal Sludge. We basically stole from them, just like we steal from Decibel Geek on this. And remember,
so you used to do kind of a lighthearted thing, where as opposed to now, where you're more into the groundbreaking journalistic.
Yeah, remember, Baco, good artists create.
Great artists steal.
There you go. Thank you. Perfect. That was like Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
All right,
Huey and Dewey. You finished my thought.
Okay.
So. Anyway, we'd sent some questions. I can't remember what they were. Some of them, this wasn't one of the funniest ones, but apparently he's from Michigan, so he would ask things like, you're from Grand Rapids, what's so grand about that town, and where are the rapids? So if you're not familiar with Michigan, there are no rapids there. And his answer to that could have been something silly, and it was, my hometown I'm so proud of. It is where my blueprint for my life is and where I base everything, my greatest, so it didn't matter what funny, silly, stupid question we asked.
It was a good Kiss record. Lighten
there
the
you
fuck
go.
Up.
Very, huh?
Lighten up is what you're saying.
Lighten up. So what my serious. First theory is, because, he's a front man.
He's a douchebag, it sounds like.
Right, but what I mean by that is that he's there for the ladies. He's got that presence and stuff like that. They definitely, I'm sure, get a nice female audience. That's the whole thing about their band, But what is, you just wrote a whole review where basically you have like a man boner for Red Sun Rising. Yes, mm-hmm.
There is a band I didn't mention in the entire review. Did you happen to notice that?
Of course, I noticed that. But so first thing, from an ego standpoint. Are the Red Sun, and this is just like a handsome man kind of comment.
Mm-hmm.
Are the guys of Red Sun Rising a bunch of slobs or handsome dudes?
They are a very attractive band.
especially according to
comfortable saying that as a married heterosexual man, they are almost like one of the better looking bands you'll see on tour, and they groom every day, which has got to be difficult on a tour of that. Stature.
Right. So they absolutely, I'm sure they get a lot of, besides just Baco, I think some of the ladies in the audience as well enjoy their presence. I know that some people that possibly your wife, finds them slightly attractive.
Yeah,
yes.
She's got a crush on the singer for sure.
Right. So that's my point. So now you've got the.
And they're they kill it too, by the way.
Oh, no, that's, I'm saying the first, I'm just saying layer one. Possibly there's some kind of jealousy because maybe more girls are showing up for their set. Okay. Now let's go past that part. Let's talk about specific music. I don't think it's a question that at this point in Pop Evil's career, that this band, with the type of music they have and everything, what are they going to do right before Pop Evil hits the stage?
They're going to destroy it. I mean, they were the best band that night. I mean, and I mean, I'm a bit biased, and if you're a hardcore Pop Evil fan and you never heard of Red Sun, maybe they didn't do much for you. But the crowd was into it, and I've seen them now three times, and they just relate to people pretty easily, and they're not the biggest band on the planet, so the fact that they can do that shows that something's happening, you know?
No, I think that they have a base that's growing. I guarantee musically right now with their catalog, because Pop Evil's all over the place. They have really, really poppy, electronica, overproduced stuff out now versus some of their old school stuff. Guarantee they wipe them off the stage. That's theory number two. So chicks digging the Red Sun Rising and Baco.
Guys chimed in and thanked me for, like, because they wanted to know they're not the only one that had a little bit of a man crush on
them. No,
I'm making it easier for people to come out and say, I am too in love with these men.
All right. Anyway, so
bringing
the world together, Luz. That's right. Yeah. But the next one is, as far as the third one, what else do you have as far as a theory?
Well, I mean, I've dealt with a lot of different musicians over the year, and their personalities swing from all over the place. But I have played with people that have no business pulling the rock star attitude, and this whole thing just from the once I got a chance to kind of see all the evidence and piece it together and put it with my own experiences, this thing just reeked of, this is my stage. You're on my show. You don't dictate anything. It's a real shitty way to run your life, your business, and it's a fucking band killer for sure, you know, and they're going to learn because you don't get better. You don't maintain longevity by fucking over people just because others like them.
Yeah, and the biggest dick move about this is the fact that unfortunately, those people, for those last six dates, if you had tickets for them, because you can never get refunds on them. When people drop off, all of a sudden you're stuck with tickets for $20 or $30 to see.
Because Pop Evil runs it, you know. You wouldn't believe how fucking tight they are, too. Jesus. I had a great little spot in this shitty club to watch a band that size, by the way. And just some of the little noodling that goes on that you don't quite hear and just how seamless they are. They're just, honest to God, they're really fucking good. If you don't like their music, you're not going to like them live. But if you like their music, they just deliver live.
Hello.
All right, Baco, so you want to go into one more of your concert experiences lately?
Let's go into one of yours, Luce.
Oh, yes. Just so you know, a little back, like under the hood type information. This band pissed me off so much that what did we do on this sex and rock and roll episode?
You insisted I cut out the entire bit, but we talked about them because we recorded it before you went to see them. And then after you saw him, like, I want that gone. I want it out of the fucking episode. I'm Luce Cannon, damn it. Get the fucking shit out of there, Baco.
It
unacceptable.
Inspired. Yeah, no, I was so mad. So mad by my experience. This is not an exaggeration. I have seen some shitty concerts probably from both the mix that killed it, for example. Maybe the band was putting on a good show and just sounded horrible. Or they just kind of were a bit disappointing and didn't bring the hot sauce to the stage or whatever, but they didn't live up to expectation. This, what I'm about to tell you, was the most obnoxious fucking concert that I wanted to bail on by probably the third song, but I was with a buddy I'd never seen before and just wanted to stick it through.
Okay.
And but in short, Steel Panther was at the Fillmore in Denver. Horrible. And it echoed, you had warned me. What did you say they did after the first two songs when you saw them?
Talked for what it seemed like 20 minutes.
Seemed like? You said it was like 10 minutes or so in your review.
Yeah, I mean, like I didn't time it.
I did because I was so curious to see if it was what you talked about. Now,
I recall now, it was three songs for sure because we can only photograph the first three songs. And they definitely didn't talk for 18 minutes while I was in the photo pit.
Yeah. So here's the deal. I saw them at a fest setting, Rock on the Range, several years ago. They only had one album back in the day. And when I saw them, they played for probably 50 minutes, mm-hmm. a little talking, but all of it quite funny. Little bits here and there, kind of like a Paul Stanley rap, but more explicit, but not going on very, very much. Well, these guys essentially did a unfunny stage rap like 100,000 years on every fucking song. After they played two songs, they brought the concert down to a grinding halt. I timed it. 18 minutes of basically the guitarist, Satchel, saying fucking chicks and fuck that.
Did they ever try to trick one of them into admitting they sucked a dick?
No, they left that out. They were actually doing improv without being trained in improv.
Well, at least you saw a different show. They did that joke like 10 times.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so they would do this. Now, imagine any concert. Let's just say that they played for close to, I'd say, an hour and 45 minutes.
Okay.
And realize they have three albums of material. Yeah, well, that's kind of the thing. They played 12 songs in an hour and 45 minutes. And each of the songs, just so you know, people, are like 3 minutes long. Okay? So figure that math out. There was over an hour of fucking talking on stage. In between each song, they would play one song and then stop for 10 minutes and just banter about. Horrible.
We've talked about this in the past. I have so many friends, even like my older sister, she loves these guys. And I've seen YouTube clips before, seen them this year. And I've heard a couple songs that I think are funny. You've even shared a couple.
Yeah,
and
I like some of their songs. I want them to play music. I don't come there to see a shitty comedian.
But when I see them online, I was just like, "What?" Because everybody's like, oh, "They're so fucking funny, Baco. You would love them." And then I see it, and I'm like, "This really doesn't seem like my kind of humor." And so, but anyway, I was encouraged. I was still open minded enough. Like I have never seen them, and they do have some funny stuff, and it was fucking horrible. I was like, the songs are not good. The jokes are not funny. And like, you know, I don't know. Look, the crowd ate every minute of it up at the show I was at. It was packed. Everybody was into it. But there might have been two Asian women in the audience, and they were the two that got dragged up on stage for Asian Hooker. And I'm like, is nobody just, I just don't think it's appropriate. I think
you and I
would be the wrong way to put it because it didn't like. I mean, I definitely say some fucking much edgier shit than that just on this show, but I just don't know that was the right thing to do.
No, we celebrate profanity, both of us.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean.
And ridiculous child dickish humor.
Yeah, all that stuff, but none of it was good. Like I
was offended that it wasn't funny.
I'm not like one of these people like, oh, I can't stand to make fun of the genre, like Trunk says that or whatever like that. I loved all that when they were.
Oh, sure, like, yeah, no problem with that. Who gives a crap?
Yeah, all that stuff, but it just doesn't hit. So I would say if you're going to see a Steel Panther set, see them in a fest setting. It contains them. They probably play the same amount of songs when I saw them in a 50-minute set as they did an hour and 45 minutes. So if you're going to see them.
I wonder if that would change how my
it absolutely would. It was Danko Jones and Steel Panther.
Danko.
This first night of both of them. And they're both kind of – Danko's kind of the same thing. What I mean by that is he talks in between. He does.
I heard Danko's
cool.
Actually kind of funny on stage too.
He absolutely is. He's actually funny is my point. And these guys were they're just full of themselves, I think, at this point. They think anything that they say on stage. It's kind of like seeing a comedian after they get famous and then they do a couple of their following – deals. I'm not even going to put the fact that they're comedians. So we're going to move on from here, but that was highly disappointing. And I really, really was hoping to have a great time and get.
I actually was hoping that you would come back. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. I would prefer that, like, that I just don't get it. Like, it's not my cup of tea.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
But that's too bad.
Let's just go into some before we go to the next story. Let's go into some quick music. So, do you have another happy song lined up?
I do, and you're gonna hate it, but I insist that we put it on because this song always gets me fired up. And
there's
mentioned guilty pleasure,
right? But I don't think that there's any guilty pleasures.
Neither do I. It's a term. I can accept that the label, I guess. Fall Out Boy with Thanks for the Memories. I brought the band up earlier, and it reminded me of that. Reminded me of the song Thanks for the Memories. I am in no way a fan of Fall Out Boy. I don't think their bass player plays bass. But that song, for whatever reason, I don't know. It's another
one. I'll go with one, too, that's a guilty pleasure, and that is... That I've actually seen these guys twice live in fests. It's definitely not what you'd think that I would be into. But I like the song Odds Are by Bare Naked Ladies. So let's completely alienate our audience with these two songs in a row.
Yeah, if you're a core fan, we're going Jeff Tate on our audience.
Yeah, but the point is that,
you might want to skip ahead the next 8 minutes.
But here's the deal. Like, it's not like I listen to Amon Amarth at breakfast when I'm having with the kids. You got to have a little sampling. You got to have some acoustic stuff. You got to have a little different flavors. You can't just always rock hard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So let's do Fall Out Boy and Bare Naked Ladies.
Oh my God.
Struck by lightning sounds pretty frightening, but you know the chances are so small. Stuck by a bee sting, nothing but a bee thing. Better chance you're gonna buy it at the mall. But it's a 23 or 4 to 1 that you can fall in love by the end of this song. So get up, tell the bookie, put a bet on not a damn thing will go wrong. The odds are that we will probably be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright. That we will probably be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright for another night. Hit by the A-train, crashed in an airplane, I wouldn't recommend either one. Killed by a great white or a meteorite, I guess there ain't a way to go, that's fun. But somewhere in the world someone is gonna fall in love by the end of this song. So get up, no it's never gonna let them, so you might as well sing along. The odds are that we will probably be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright, odds are we gonna be alright tonight. The odds are that we will probably be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright, odds are we gonna be alright for another night. Sure things go wrong, but I'll take my chances, odds are long, so why not play? Struck by lightning sounds pretty frightening, but you know the chances are so small. Hit by the A-train, crashed in an airplane, better chance you're gonna buy it at the mall.
But it's a 23 or 4 to 1 that you can fall in love by the end of this song. So get up, no I'm never gonna let up, so you might as well sing along. The odds are that we will probably be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright, odds are we gonna be alright tonight. The odds are that we will probably be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright, odds are we gonna be alright tonight. The odds are that we will probably be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright, odds are we gonna be alright tonight. The odds are that we will probably be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright for another night.
I'm gonna make it bend and break. Say a prayer, but let the good times roll. In case God doesn't show. And I want these words to make things right, but it's the wrongs that make the words come to life. But who does he think he is?
If that's the worst you got, better put your fingers back to the key.
That's still around. We've braved the audience.
I'm hearing crickets all of a sudden. What the fuck happened? You don't hear crickets in Minnesota in the winter.
Well, you do now. They came back right after that segue. So I think the only thing I could do
I think
right
everybody's
now
is like, go back to Nickelback.
Yeah, exactly. Go back. We've braved so many things in the last two episodes.
What was wrong with Nickelback?
By the way, I can't remember it. There was a song I was told that we should have featured by them instead that's even more more explicit. It was that song that goes, I see you down on your knees, down out.
Oh, you know, we used to play that in Jesus Chrysler.
It's actually a good song. I like
at weddings, we'd bring the up on stage.
No, you wouldn't.
And then like I would just fucking grind in his face. It was kind of fun. That was the only, it was the only way that made it worth doing. But anyway, carry on. Yes, yeah. Very dirty.
I like your pants around your feet.
Donut, donut.
And I like the dirt that's on your knees. And I like the way you still say please while you're looking up at me. You're like my favorite damn disease. And I love the places that we go.
All right, now we fought now with the Bare Naked Ladies and the kicker of another Nickelback reference. My God, we are treading on thin ice right now.
Yeah, we need to bring it back with something strong.
Yeah. Why don't we just spice it up and talk about one? Let's do two kind of rage songs that still cathartically bring you to that positive zone again. What do you think?
Yeah,
you got anything lined up there?
Well, of course. I just can't think enough about my head. You see, you do this, Luce. You do this.
Well, I'll give you a little time to look. Like, I've, you know what? I'll feature a band that basically I just kind of like 6 a.m. that this is a one that I heard this song and started, and I was kind of late to the party for him, but I started going back and could not find anything else I really liked by them. And that is the only song that really by this band that even has a riff and doesn't just have a bunch of bass. Every single song has the Cookie Monster breakdown. Who am I talking about? Come on.
Well, the Cookie Monster. Oh, Korn?
Huh?
Korn?
Yes, Korn. Korn. I mean, the fact that I wrote an article about Korn several years ago on it basically said, you know, AC/DC puts out the same album every time. Korn has made the same song every time. Every single song. You could say that AC/DC
I am not a fan at all, but I have to give them a little credit for basically inventing a new kind of music.
But you see what I'm saying? Like almost every song is like, and then that whoever that monkey guy is, more monkeys, or whatever his name is, just go, and plays no real distinguishable riff. Now, this song, I think, is everything that Korn's not about, and that's the song Here to Stay, which has a riff that it just is, don't.
This time I'm taking it.
All right, Baco. So, yeah, we're doing things a little differently this time. Definitely loading it chock full of music. And that's the whole point, is we want not just our ridiculous banter is going to make you happy. We want you to play these episodes and just yeah. and just bring you up. So we're loading it.
Yeah, and with a happy, happy, joy, joy episode, it should be a little music heavy. You know, people love yes. They get to hear us talk yes. all the time. Hopefully that makes you happy too, I guess.
really depends.
I didn't think where I was about to go.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let me think here. You know what? There's a band that I think has one good album and a spectacular album that's stuck with me all these years, and I actually busted it out a couple months ago too, and let it go all the way through. And it's produced by
Bob Rock.
Nope.
Michael Wagner.
This is the producer of Queen.
What's his name?
I'm trying to think. I'm blanking real quick. Maybe you can look it up on the Google machine while I'm going through. But he did the majority of their classic albums.
Yeah, I'll get it here. Keep going.
Yeah. So, and the reason I mention this is that the production is spectacular on it. He also did the remix of Too Fast for Love. I believe Roy Thomas Baker.
Yes.
Roy Thomas
yes.
Baker.
Okay. It's Roy Thomas Baker.
I got it before Google, or at least set it before. But anyway,
faster than my thumbs.
So it's Local H with Pack Up the Cats.
Oh my God, is Aaron Camaro gonna have a fucking boner now?
He likes all their stuff. I do not. I think they have. And I think that Sinzak mentioned on one of the episodes that I wasn't interested in because they had their biggest hit is their worst song. That's Copacetic. So fucking annoying.
That song blows ass.
Oh yeah, it's terrible, and they have so many good songs. But anyway, this album is 15 tracks, and it never stops. There's no gap in between it. They all blend together. As far as that, there's no silence in between them. Is what I mean by that. And it's incredible. I listen to it start to finish all the time. A lot of this album is just upbeat, fun music. And the one that really always gets me is the song "Finding Good." Which at first you think it's one of these songs that everything's fine and good, and then things are going to go to hell. But no,
podcast man crush are definitely looking forward to it.
Things are good, nothing much for me to say. I'm feeling happier every day. Things are good, I've got a simple mind. It seems like everything is going fine. Fine and good. Everything is fine and good. Running smooth this week. I don't even really feel the need to speak. The things are good, didn't mean to make you mad. People seem to like when things are bad.
There you are, everything is
right, Baco, I think it's your turn. Let's grab some upbeat, inspiring music for our audience.
Well,
let's do it.
They're not the most popular band, but I know you and I are fans of the Foo Fighters.
Oh yeah, they still play a few small gigs.
Yeah,
here
yeah.
And there.
Well, you know, hopefully they can break out a little bit and become a little bit bigger. You know,
they are the last rock band on Earth, I believe.
That yeah, it certainly
according
seems
to
like
me,
that.
the media, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, I love that people that do not like music say, I like Foo Fighters, I like U2. They've never been to any other concert or Coldplay.
Metallica comes up once in a while.
Yeah, like somehow they got a foothold into that. But anyway, continue with your Foo Fighters. I like them.
Well, there's a ton of their music that can get you in a good mood, but I always thought that, and it's a bit of a softer one, I guess, but it still kind of rocks. And that's that song Given to Fly. You like that one?
Fuck yeah, I loved it. I still like
great
it.
Video.
It's probably it's a pretty funny video. That's when they started doing. I think that was like their template for all future videos. That was the one on the plane, right?
Yeah, and they all play like three people.
Yeah. Then they did tons like that. But yeah, I like that song. I like the Mentos song as well.
What was that called? Big Me.
Yeah, Big Me.
Big Me.
That's a good one too. But yeah,
and what's that one where two dudes rape each other in a dark lit cabin? That was always picks me up.
I think that one was called Two Dudes Rape Each Other in a Dark Lit Cabin.
That was Low, wasn't it?
I don't know what you're speaking of, but
it's
at
him
all.
And Jack Black, and it's like butt sex. And
I remember something about this video that I don't think I made it through the video at all. I don't know exactly what was going on there, but. You know, let's move on from that description. I don't think that's really helping our audience and
butt sex.
And getting them into, what?
Butt sex. Hey, Nothing to Lose is about butt sex. That's an upbeat song.
Oh, let's do that. We'll do a double shot. You do enter yours, and I'm gonna surprise you with mine.
All right, well, here's a band you may probably haven't heard of called the Foo Fighters with Given to Fly. What do you got?
I got Love Her All I Can by Kiss.
Complication, looking 'cause I'm tired of life.
Sorry, Mako. Let's do a few more and wrap this up. I hope everyone out there is in a better mood as a result. Not our banter we're standing, but from the spectacular music we were playing. So I have one that I think is going to be perfect for closing it out, but I want to hopefully you've got one more in the arsenal to unleash.
Well, sure. Can I lead into it with my last of my marathon weekend concert story?
Oh, yeah. Let's do one more concert story.
I don't have a lot from Rat. It was a pretty, incident-free event. But yeah, Rat, if everybody who isn't aware, is no longer Bobby Blotzer and Four Dudes. It is back to at least including Stephen Piercy, Juan Croshaw, and Warren DeMartini. And rounding out the band was Carlos Cavazo, who's been with them, 5, 6, 7 years, something like that. And then new Bobby, Jimmy DeGrasso on drums.
He's played with everybody pretty much, right?
Oh, yeah. The first time I heard of him was on YNT with the Contagious record, but he eventually ended up in Megadeth for a while.
I do remember that. I think also he might have been in Dead Daisies for one of their albums. I don't know. He's all over the place.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Continue.
But yeah, it was Rat's like first comeback, and as far as I know, they don't have another show booked until M3. But
interesting,
yeah.
Just randomly, they played in Minnesota, and then they're not playing for another couple months.
Exactly, weird. Yeah. And it's like a Treasure Island Casino, about an hour south of the Twin Cities, so not too far of a drive.
Well, that's not the smartest thing to do, because between now and then, they could lose their lawsuit.
Yeah,
not be
there is
again.
No. I mean, if anybody who actually follows that, it's not out of the realm. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it might be Stephen Piercy and friends by the time M3 rolls around. But continue with your story, please. I'm sorry for rudely interrupting as usual.
Yeah, that is kind
Let's
of our
fight.
Thing.
Fuck this! I quit.
Man, if I was going to quit because of an interruption, we both would have quit.
Episode three.
Yeah.
Episode one, we'd have been done.
Yeah. Well, I wrote out the first episode. I'm like, this must just be the Skype connection.
It's off. The Skype connection
is off. We're in a room
by...
together. It was like, oh, we're doing it too.
No.
Two Skype alpha dogs.
The Skype connection must be off 3 seconds.
Anyway, yes, and the opening band was Great White, not featuring Jack Russell, which, cards on the table, I like less. Now, okay. This is my first time seeing them live, and it just kind of cemented what I already thought to believe.
What's the main thing you think of with Jack White? The main thing you think of with Great White, I combined Jack Russell and Great White there.
Yeah.
Anyway, is that his voice?
Yeah, it's very, especially from that era, one of the more iconic ones.
What you got else from Great White? Do you want to go into Rat?
Yeah, that was basically it. I mean, they sounded good. The band's clearly been playing a lot together. Rat was a little rusty, you could tell, but they were, to be honest, it was fucking great. There was just something about, I think it had, with knowing the whole story of the lawsuit, there was this level of authenticity that was raised a bit because of it. It was almost like there was this subtle triumphantness to them walking on stage.
Was your buddy thrilled? Was he happy with the result?
Which one?
Your friend Wilson.
Wilson. Oh yeah, yeah.
Came all the way in.
He was, but he drove, and he's driving back today. By the way,
which is insane for him to just come for.
Yeah, he drove
one
in
day,
Friday.
Wilson, if you're listening, we're very impressed with your dedication. Continue.
Yeah, but he was also hammered, so who knows? But
all right, they're great. These guys are incredible.
Oh my god! And it was like such a. I grew up in Owatonna, went to college in Rochester, and worked at a place called Schmidt Printing, and it was like a family reunion of those three places. I ran into so many fucking people that I barely knew, haven't seen in 20 years. Any time I got up and went somewhere, someone was talking to me. It was a lot of fun in that sense, but, just catching up a little bit. But apparently Rat brings people together. But Stephen Piercy...
By the way,
yeah.
Funerals also bring people together.
Yeah, well, okay. You hear that, Bobby? Yeah, but Stephen Piercy sounded, you know how like he's hit and miss. He's definitely got a reputation for not always being on top of it. He was killing it for about 5 or 6 songs. And from that point on, he kind of dipped between, you know, not good to okay. And the band, you could tell, was just not quite as tight as you know, maybe they would be if they were in the middle of a tour. This sounded kind of like it was, like the first show in a long time. But they played all the hits, and obviously, but they only played about 1 hour and 15 minutes, so that was a little bit of a bummer. You would think if you're going to travel this far in February to play in Minnesota, you'd kind of want to make the most of it. But
yeah, I don't get that. It's like a big reunion show; they could just power through. Obviously, they're more of their hardcore fans are going to be there, so you should be able to pull some old stuff. I agree. I mean, come on. So what you got? What do you want? Any other anecdotes from it, or just a pretty solid show?
No, it was a good show, pretty smooth. Everybody that I talked to loved it.
You liked it better than the other rat you saw?
Yeah, definitely. And I would say that they were actually probably just a little bit tighter, and the singer was a little more consistent. But you know what? Fuck that. I want to see these guys. I want to see Warren DeMartini. I want to see Stephen Piercy. Juan Croucher looks like he's lost some weight. He looked good. I don't know. It just they delivered at least. What I would have wanted at the minimum, but you know they'll get better. You know, like I said, it's the first show in a long time.
Sure. What you got though? For
that
them?
Said, man, let's play a fucking rat tune that gets me in a good mood. Anyway, I love the song "You're in Love." I know it's a hit, but fuck it. You okay with that?
Done. That's like one of their best. Let's do it.
For lightning, you're in love. You take the evening one-on-one. You're only living to have fun. You want to use me, take me home tonight. I'll make you wish that you were mine. You're struck by lightning.
Alright, Baco, so that was quite a journey. We did some investigative, sort of kind of speculative reporting on Red Sun Rising, yes?
Yes. We took it as deep as we are willing to put the work into, which is just observe for 2 hours and then make widely sweeping, I don't know, speculation.
Connected dots with...
Yeah. And I'm convinced we're right, though.
Yeah, okay.
I think we got enough.
Maybe. There's enough evidence. So, and then I completely trashed Steel Panther for 10 minutes. That was great.
Oh, I loved it.
Oh, my goodness. And then we bounced around over the last two episodes with Happy Happy Joy Joy. We did the Guilty Pleasure theme more.
We should dig into a full episode of Guilty Pleasure on a certain point. That might be a little fun.
I think so, too.
Guilty pleasures.
Yeah, this is a little scattered. It's like, here's a guilty pleasure. Here's also some corn. a little all over the place, but oh, my goodness. But what else you got?
Well, we also had some healing in between our relationship. I would like to thank you for bringing all those ridiculous issues you had to the forefront so that I can at least pretend.
Ridiculous to you.
Yes. Yeah.
Ridiculous to you. That's. But yeah, it's good. I mean, if you can't talk about things, how can you go further in a relationship? You're only stunting your emotional growth.
Exactly. Exactly.
So yeah, Baco, I think we should do one more guilty pleasure before we leave. What do you think?
I think that's a fantastic idea.
And with that, I think I'm going to ask you a couple questions that are inspired by the beginning of our sex, sex, sex episode. The whole dip the cranny axe in the gut locker. Do you remember those questions?
Oh, yeah.
Well, all those come from the following song by the Bloodhound Gang. And it's a song called Foxtrot, Uniform, Charlie, Kilo.
Those are fucking song lyrics.
Yes, they're song lyrics.
My therapist will be happy to find that out.
but Foxtrot, Uniform, Charlie, Kilo. Do you understand what that is or not?
Yeah, fuck.
Also, we don't do much research for the show, but what I did for this sex episode, and there's a funny follow-up story to this, is I looked up, because we need a thesaurus sometimes, and I was like, we can't keep saying boner. So I'm like, I need to find out a thesaurus for different terms for a boner. So
boner,
I looked
boner,
it up.
Boner, boner, boner.
So I looked
boner,
it up boner. And I found a few that we used for that episode. But the thing is, after the episode was done, I went to sleep. The next morning, my wife comes up and goes, "Why do I have pages all pulled up on the screen for all kinds of definitions of boners?"
Why are you going through my stuff?
I'm like, what are you looking for my stuff? That's my own personal stuff. That's my show material.
Stay out of my stuff.
You want anything else to say, Baco, before I terrorize you with a couple stupid questions?
No, let's just do this.
Okay. Baco, have you ever backdoored the custard slinger in the mud cutter?
Why? What have you heard?
Baco, have you ever telescoped the Milky Way with the Big Dipper? What say you?
Absolutely not. That is an unfounded lie and accusation. That is fake news. You are fake news, Luce. Fake!
Oh, so bad.